Okay, so it's Sunday night, and I know it's in May, and we are on the 10th step, and we've spent several weeks on the 10th step, and the 10th step is on page 84. And it's so important, these words on pages 84 to 88 are so powerful. It's how you live, how you live and treat your alcoholism every day. And a lot of people are new and say, well, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to try to tie that together, see if it makes sense. And so we spent 1 week on the promises, and I did a meeting on that and how the promises, why they come on page 83 and what they mean. They come on page 83 because you have to do a lot of work for the promises to come true. And the promises are gifts from God. It's not anything you earn. You don't wake up one day and say, I'm free of fear. You don't wake up one day and say, I have a whole new attitude and outlook on life. It happens. These are things that happen when you've worked steps 4 through 9, you're halfway through. And the big book ties that together, and we're going to go through this handout to show people how this all works, is that when you're halfway through step 9, you're in a world called the world of the spirit. Now, the world of the spirit is a good place because it's not my world anymore. It's the world with everybody in it and God. Anybody think that's a good place to live?
Yes.
Good, because it is. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get in the world of the spirit with God in the world, not in our own self-centered world. And when we do that, the promises come true. And then it tells us on page 84 how I try to stay in that world. And then we went through last week, 2 weeks ago, we went through the instructions on how we stay in the world. And we're going to review all that tonight. And then the recovered promises we did last week, which are the bottom of page 84 and top 85, in which it tells me that alcohol is not a problem anymore. It's been removed. So when I'm in the world of the spirit, God is there and the problem doesn't exist. I can recoil from alcohol as from a hot flame. I can see the truth about it. Now, when I'm in my world, Michael's world, I couldn't see the truth about anything because I was seeing everything wrong and I believed everything I saw. And so tonight, we're on page 85. We're finishing up the 10th step, and I'm going to tie together these three paragraphs, and we're going to use this handout. Because Brian suggested that it was a lot of information last week, which it was. It's a lot of new ideas I had that I hadn't seen before. And so we're going to review that and tie it in. So this first page is a nice little diagram, and it's from the steps we took, and it's on the website experiencethebigbook.org, but it shows six dominoes, and the steps are like dominoes, and they have to be done in order, and then when they click down, you have a result, and the steps, everybody here came here because they were having a problem. Is that true?
Yes.
Nobody woke up and said, I want to go to AA. They got a good book. I want to go to Sunday night meeting and listen to that guy talk. Nobody said that. In fact, the only reason people are here, they're desperate. And so anyway, that was a joke. But people come in here because things are bad, right? Your lives are chaos. You're having trouble in all areas of your life. And so if you want to change, does anybody want to change the way they live?
Yes.
Change the way they think?
Yes.
Change the results of their lives? Then here's the process that you do it. And it's true for anything you want to change. Joe and Charlie make this point. If you're going to change anything, you have to be willing to change. Now, we talked about that yesterday, willing to change. Well, if you come in here and you were as defeated as I was willing to do anything. I just did not want to go on and live the way I was anymore. I knew there had to be a better way, and I had finally come to the conclusion that I couldn't fix it, and I didn't have a way. So I was willing to change. Then the second thing you have to do is believe you change. And we come to believe that we can change, and there's a power that can change me from AA. Because I met people when I came in here like Jim, and I said, Jim seems pretty good. I mean, I was new. I didn't know a lot, but I said, Jim, really, it seems pretty good, and he's been doing this a long time, so I'm going to do what Jim did, right? And so that's how we learn. Maybe somebody thinks I'm doing pretty well. Well, do what I did, and you'll have what I have. And so AA is supposed to show us that we can come to believe that there's hope. And I hope if you're new tonight, you'll come to believe that. Then I want to decide to change. That's a big decision, especially for an alcoholic. I don't want to run the show. I want to have a new employer, and I don't want to work for me anymore. Now, if I decide to change, that's a major event. And we have the third step promises in the book, and they're powerful. But guess what? Nothing changes by making a decision, does it? See, there's probably somebody who decided to come here tonight, and they're not here because they didn't follow through on the action. Everybody who came here tonight decided to come, and you're here. And so there are three birds on the branch. I saw them today, and they said, let's decide to fly to Nebraska. And I looked out there an hour later, they're still in the branch because they didn't take any action. And so a lot of us come in here, and we want to change, and we believe we change, and we decide we're going to change, but we don't want to take the action. Now, the action of the steps 4 through 9, gives me results. It gives me promises. It puts me in the world of the Spirit. And then I have faith. Now, AA makes a big deal in the big book between belief and faith. And I've been studying the scriptures, and they talk about faith a lot. And there's some of belief, but there's a lot of emphasis on faith. In AA, faith implies trust. It implies knowledge of God, a relationship with God. And that relationship gives me trust, and I know I can rely on God. Now, I got that through working the steps. I was telling you, we were working before the meeting. If I'm angry today, and I know I ask God to save me from being angry, and I'm willing to say the prayers, it'll go away. I know that if I'm afraid, I'm back in some self-centered nonsense I'm worrying about, if I say, God, remove the fear and direct my attention to how I'll be, it's going to go. I know if I turn to God today, he's there for me. Why? Because he's been there for all these years through so many things. I had a son die. Things happen. You know, life happens, but I was able to get through it with God. And then God works through people, and people are in AA, and we all work together with the fellowship. So then you have faith. And now, this is like Columbus. We were talking about Columbus before the meeting. Now, Columbus was, they make the joke that he was an alcoholic because he didn't know where he was going, and he had a woman pay for it, and he got there and he didn't know where he'd been. Nobody thinks that's funny. Joe Charlie said that's pretty funny. All right, calm down. It wasn't my joke. But Columbus is the classic example of how things happen. Now, Columbus was in Spain, maybe Portugal. He went to Spain. He didn't want to go to the East Indies by going east. And everybody else said, you have to go east, right? So Columbus decided, I don't want to go east. I want to go west. East was a long way. So he had to be willing to change his mind and go west. Then he believed he could do it. He didn't know it, but he believed he could do it. Now, he had no reason to base his belief, but he believed it was possible. So since he believed it was possible, he decided that he was going to do it. He went to the queen. She gave him the boats, and he's in Spain. Now, he's still in Spain after he's made the decision. Now, he got on the ocean, and there were three ships, remember? And Columbus, remember, he's an alcoholic. He's on the last ship. He put the other two ships in front of him, and they all had the special guy to look for the end of the world so Columbus could turn around before he went over. But they hit land. And when they hit land, he knew it was possible. So he went back to Spain, and then she says, I'm going to give you three more ships. Now, this time, he didn't have to put the special lookout. He had true trust and faith. And so he had knowledge. And remember, we have a chapter, We Agnostics, which we're going to start on Saturday after we finish this thing on the problem, because we finished through More About Alcoholism, which is step one. But We Agnostics is all about, we don't have knowledge of God. We all have faith. A lot of us had a lot of faith. A lot of people had a lot of knowledge of the scriptures, prayed every day. But we didn't have a relationship with God where we allowed his power to work in our lives. We blocked him out with our self-centeredness. We did the best we could, but we never used God's power, so we didn't know what it was. But now that I've used God's power through the years, I know it's there. And so the only problem I make is not going to God right away. and staying back in my self-centeredness. So this is really, this is all we're trying to do here. So if you're willing to come to AA and you believe AA can help you and you decide you're going to work the steps, nothing's going to change. You have to take the actions. Now, this next thing, it says the process of spiritual growth. And this is really the same thing, but it shows you very clearly how the 12 steps work. And so it says to be successful, believing must be strong enough to incite a decision. And the decision is to take a course of action. And once the action becomes strong enough, it brings about results. So I hope when people come in here, they're really defeated. I hope they're really, their lives are a mess and they realize it. The only people who don't get better, it tells us in how it works. We read it tonight. Men and women who will not or cannot do this program. Why? Because they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. Now, I've been to meetings where they argue what constitutionally means. But what it means is they can't see the hopelessness and futility of their life as they're living it. They can't see it. They still think they got another door. We tell you you're going to go die or accept spiritual help, and they say there's another door. There isn't any. They can't see the truth about their situation, because if you could see the truth, which we all got from God, everybody who got here had some moment when they said, I need help, I'm going to give up, which is the grace of God. And I talk about the beginning of being humble, of being able to have God come into my life. He came, and then you come here. And then we're willing to change because we don't want to do the things that got us here. And I believe I could change from people I met. And then I decide to change, and then I take inventory on what I need to change. And then I take the actions of 4 through 9. And then we're changed. 10 and 11 is where we continue to do the steps 4 through 9 all the time. So I've hammered that home. Now, this is a really important piece of paper, because the steps are really designed to build this arch of freedom. So when I come into AA, I'm standing here and I'm in this world that I've created. Some of you are new today, may be in there. It's not a good place. I'm full of fear. I'm depressed. Things are coming in on me. I don't know how to fix it. And I don't want to stay in that world. So AA says we're going to get you to be freedom of the bondage of self. Anybody heard that before? Mm-hmm. I want to get out of this bondage to my way, to how I've been, to my thinking. And it says we're going to build an arch to freedom. And the foundation of this arch is willingness. We talked about it. Step one is are you admit your powerless over alcohol? Is your life unmanageable? Well, are you willing to change? Do you want to? You need to do something different, right? And you have to understand unconditionally in step one that I never can manage it again. I'll never be able to manage my life. They left it out. I have to call them when they rewrite the new edition. It says, my life was unmanageable by me. Now, when you come in here, a lot of people think your life was unmanageable because of them, and they're on your resentment list. Well, that's not true. I made it unmanageable, and I have to be willing. And the willingness, remember the desperation of drowning men. We read yesterday, under the lash of alcoholism, we come to AA. And I think I have the handout here. Let's see what it says. It's from the 12 and 12. It says, under the lash of alcoholism, we are driven to AA. And when we come here, we discover the fatal nature of our situation. You see, we can't block out the reality anymore. Then and only then do we become as open-minded to conviction and willing to listen as the dying can be. Now, I've seen a lot of people who are dying. I've had them sit right across from me. And if I could have told them that you're going to work 12 steps and you're going to read 102 pages and you're going to do these things, you're going to get better, they would have said, give me the book, and they would have gone right out and done it. But we didn't have power to help a lot of those people. But we have, and it says we stand ready to do anything which will lift the merciless obsession from us. Remember, I asked people, are they willing to go to any length? So the foundation is willingness. I can't make anybody willing. And I think what happens, a lot of people come in very willing. And they're very willing the first day. And then after a week, they're a little less willing. And then some people say, well, I made too much of this. And here's the good one. I'm sober 30 days. I can quit any time. I can quit any time. That's a killer. And so the willingness has to be persistent. Now, how do I stay willing? I have to stay close to my first step all the time. If I get too far away, no matter how many meetings I do and how much I read the book and study, if I get away from my first step, I'll start to think that I have some control. I have some power. I take power back, and that's very dangerous. Now, the believing is the cornerstone. And it says on page 47, they ask us one short question. Can I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity? And it says, if you do believe, or you're willing to believe, then you're on the road, and you've put a cornerstone of the foundation of the new arch to freedom. It's not the exact words, but it's pretty close. And so everybody here willing to believe?
Yes.
Exactly. So we put the foundation. Now the keystone is the third step. It says, I have to decide something in the third step, that I'm not going to play God. Now, does that seem pretty obvious to everybody? But here's the thing. I played God, and I didn't even realize it for so long. And then my life didn't work, and I blamed everybody else. But you know what the problem was? I wasn't God. So I should have been locked up. I mean, I should have been put in one of these asylums because I was a crazy person. I was playing God, and I'm not God. I mean, really, we laugh about it, but alcoholics have led very insane lives. Because we believed that we were God, and we played God, and we judged the whole world. Anybody else do that? Was I the only one? So it says, as soon as we believe that God, we're going to let God be our director, and I'm going to give up on playing God, that's the keystone of this arch. Now, I believe that so believe is down here on the second one, and I believe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 finish this arch. They put the steps in place. And then when I'm in step 10, I've walked through this arch. And I'm in the world of the Spirit. Now that means that I have a lot of power from God now. Not from me, but I have a relationship with God, and I have a lot of power in my life. And so in 10 and 11, keep me on the other side of this arch. Now if I stop doing the steps and stop doing 10, 11, 12, I move back. And then you can go pretty far down this through the arch, but if you stop doing it, you're going to come back. And then eventually, you get out of the world of the Spirit, and then you have no power over alcohol again, right? Because you only get power with God. And so the arch, the freedom. So we're on pages 84 to 88 is when you're in the other side of the arch, how you want to stay there. Now, if you don't do the steps, guess what? You're never going to go through the arch. And some people think, well, I can be free of the bondage of self and not build the arch. Well, try it. Let me know if it works. See, what AA is telling you, if you follow their specific directions, you'll get the same results they got. So they built an arch, and I built an arch, and I'll tell you it's true. I live in a different world now than I lived when I came in here. Right, Norm? It's so different, and people talk about that when we open it up. So I thought that was really, because I talked about that last week, right, Brian? And I'm trying to tie it all together. Now here is the bridge. And for new people, we all think we're smart. Anybody thinks they're not smart here? Alcoholics are very smart. They could be dying, but they're still going to tell you what they think. And they'll tell you their plan. I really like the ones who are really dying, and I'm being silly, but they don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about God. And so I say, well, how's that working? How's that working for you? So we all start out where we're smart. We come in here, and we know our lives are a mess, but everybody comes in here has a plan. But here's what Sandy Beach says. At AA, we don't want to hear your plan. We want you to give up on your plan completely, forever, and try this plan. And this plan will work. So what we have to do when we get in is have to give people, give up on their plan. And it's not Michael's plan, it's this plan. It's from God. This is a plan from God. These are spiritual principles. And all we tell you is, give up on your plan and do this, and then tell us what happens. And that's what we're supposed to share at the meetings. So here it shows the bridge of reason toward the desired sure faith. And we read that on page in We Agnostic. It talks about you start with belief, and the steps 1 and 2 is belief, and then the step 3 decision, you're building the bridge, right? Now, your life's not going to get better till you're over on the other side. And you have to do steps 4 through 9, and then 10, 11, and 12, you're on the shore of faith, and you're living in God's will and not your will. Now, I guarantee if you're new, living in God's world is a much better world than you've been living in. And you can't even imagine it. You can't even imagine it. But I tell you, it's going to be better. So the only reason you have to give up is your will and the world you're in, and step across the bridge. But it says that we couldn't. Here's on page 53. It says we're at the point where God is everything or is He nothing, right? What is our choice to be? And he says we get to that choice when we're crushed by our alcoholism. When we become an alcoholic, when I'm crushed by my self-imposed crisis, I remember that moment. I just couldn't get out of it anymore. I couldn't deny it. I didn't want to fight it. I had to give up. And I said, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to give it up. So we had the question, is God everything or nothing? What is our choice to be? Now, it sounds silly. When you're dying, everybody chooses God, right? I mean, most of us. But then how do we keep continuing to choose God all the time? That's what the steps are designed. Because today, I'll choose Michael. I'll worry about something. Well, I'm taking control of that. I didn't give that to God. I've got that. Well, how does that work for me? I'm bothered. I'm disturbed. I'm full of fear. So we have to give up everything to God all the time. And it says, arrived at this point of this question, we're squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason that starts with our plan and our thinking toward the desire, sure faith, a relationship with God. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes. We're walking across it and we could see all these happy people over there. The world looks great. They're throwing out their friendly hands, they're stretching out welcome. And then some of us say we're grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Those are the people who don't make it here. They can't quite give up on their plan, their ideas, their reasoning to step ashore and let go and cross to the bridge of faith. It says, perhaps we've been leaning too heavily on reason the last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. So this is what we're building, a bridge to freedom, a bridge to God's will. Now, we all come in here and we're all on this shore. The ones who get across the bridge, they like it over there. So they want to stay there, right? This is a good world. I want to stay here. So 10, 11, 12 is how I recognize when I'm starting to go back across the bridge and I stop and I go the other way. So this could also be similar to the Arch of Freedom. Everybody, I haven't lost anybody yet, have I? All right, now I made this chart myself. And it looks very complicated. But actually, I'm going to put a title on it, The Program of Recovery. Because this tells us everything we need to know about what we're trying to do. So everybody see World of My Alcoholism? Everybody see that? The top. Well, that's the circle. That's where I put myself. Now, when I was born, I was in the bottom circle. But that wasn't good enough. So I had to move into my world where I play God. Now, here's the thing that I didn't realize for years. I did that without even realizing it. I put myself in this world where I was separated from the real world and God in my own mind. And I did it, why? Because I didn't know how better to try to make my life, fix my life. I didn't know any better. And I played God and I separated. Now, that world was not very pretty. I was restless, irritable, and discontented. Anybody remember that? Yes. And then because I'm an alcoholic, I drank. And it fixed that world. It took me into a world that looked like the real world, but it was a false world. You see, the promises came true when I drank, right? Mm-hmm. I had a new freedom and happiness, and I was, my fear left me, and suddenly alcohol was doing more for me than I could ever do for myself, right? Don't get too excited. So, and then I had anger, fear, shame, and guilt, and harmful actions. Mm-hmm. It was not pretty. That was my world, and I didn't realize it when I came in here, but AA, this is what we're trying to teach new people. This is what it's all about. So if you're new, this is where you are. And we put ourselves there, and here's the problem. I don't know how to get out of that world on my own. The big book says I cannot stop living in this world on my own power. The only thing that can do it is God. Now, I have to get to God's power. I'm over here. So what do I do? Well, the first thing we talked about is steps 1 to 3. I want to get out of that world. Get me out of here. I make a decision. I'm not going to play God. Get me out of this world, please. And I'm willing, and I believe I can change. And I decide I need to get out of this world. And so willingness, belief, and decision are steps 1, 2, 3. Move me out of the circle enough to give me start, to give me the power of God, right? Because I'm seeking God. And then it moves me through, and I drew this little half circle. That is the arch to freedom. I'm very talented, aren't I? Stop it. For those listening, they're making fun of my arch, but it's my arch, and it's arch to freedom, and it's actions 4 through 9. And I go through that arch, and when I've done, and then I cross this line here, you see? When I cross this line, I'm moving towards the world with God. And then it brings me into this world. It says we're entered the world of the Spirit. Now that's the real world. That's where I want to live. Where God is the center includes Him and everything connected to God. Now to do that, I had to remove all the things that block me from this world. That's what steps 4 through 9 are doing. Right? They're removing all the things in me. It says we have to face and be rid of the things in me that are blocking me from the world of God. And they're not anything then I have to know, I just have to face and be rid of them. And I get rid of them through the actions of 4 through 9, through prayer, but I have to recognize them. See, when I was in this world, I didn't realize I was blocked from God and that I had done it. I thought it was all them. Anybody have them when you came in here? Anybody got more than a few them? And so I decided, and people told me, and the book is teaching us this. This is what the book is trying to say, but it's complicated. So the book is saying you start out in your world, you play God, you're separated, you're restless, irritable, discontented, your life's an effing mess, anger, fear, shame, and guilt, and harmful actions, and you don't feel good, do you? People aren't really happy when they're in this world, when they come in here, right? And so we learn here that we need to, we talk about step 1, we believe and we make a decision that we're going to move out of this world to a new world where God's in charge, but I don't know how to do that. So then it says, well, let's do step 4. Well, I say, okay, let's do step 4. Make a list of your resentments. I'll see you in 5 days. You come back. Oh, I didn't have time. You see, people fight it. They don't want to, they want to move out of it, but they really don't want to let go. So I encourage you, if you're new, do everything that's in the book. Do everything your sponsor tells you. Don't stop when you think you need to. Let somebody else tell you when you need this, what you need to do. Give it up. So you go actions 4 through 9, brings me into God's world, and I've entered this world, and it says it's the real world where God is the center, includes Him in everything, and I'm connected to God. That's called conscious contact, conscious awakening. And guess what? I'm in the world of the promises. And we read last week, how are these for promises? I'm not fighting anyone or anything anymore. Sanity's returned. I'm seldom interested in liquor. If tempted, I recoil from it as a hot flame. The problem's been removed. I'm not fighting it nor avoiding temptation. It says this is how I react if I'm in fit spiritual condition. So fit spiritual condition isn't very complicated. You're in the world with the Spirit, and you want to stay there. And why is that a good place? Because when you're in the world of the Spirit, you react differently than when you're not in the world. when in that world, I think this person's stupid, and why am I waiting in line? And don't they know I'm Michael the Magnificent? And blah, 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 blah. And when I'm in the world of the Spirit, I say, well, gee, I have no place to go, and how can I help you, ma'am? You see, it's a whole different way of seeing things. Anybody decides life's unfair? It's always unfair when you're in this world. You decide what's fair or not fair. You decide if you have a problem. Anybody have a problem today? If you do, you decided it. But if you're in the world of the Spirit, you have situations. You don't have problems, and you have somebody to help you with it, right? You go to God, and you go to other people. So you stay in this world with steps 10, 11, and 12. Now, if you stop doing 10, 11, and 12, you eventually creep back. And you spend all your time in your own world. Now, I spend time in my world today. We all do, right? So it says on page 84, you've entered the world of the Spirit, right? So we're all down at the bottom, right? Good job, guys. What does it say? Watch. Watch for selfishness, desire, resentment, fear. You're in this world. You watch with God for when you start to move out of it. And you say, I don't want to move all the way up into that world. I can see it happening. I'm going to ask God at once to remove it. I discuss it with someone else. I make amends. I turn my thoughts to those I can help. You see? And so I don't have to stay out of this world very long. So 10 and 11, is you talk about being on the beam, right? You've heard that, I want to stay on the beam? Well, the beam is the world of God. And I wrote a thing on the beam, and I said when people start to lose their balance on the balance beam, they don't turn away from the beam. That never works, right? They have to turn back to the beam. So all this is saying in this real world is turn to God all the time. Seek God all the time and stay with Him, and your life will be better. So I don't know. I thought this was good. Is this helpful?
Yes.
And so I'll open it up. I'm sorry I talked too long. But Norm's laughing because he's heard that before, right? Stop it. You guys are bad. They're giving me a hard time. Thank you, guys.